I would like to talk to us this morning about living life day by day. And look at it this way. It's kind of like driving a car. I drive about 400 miles a week. I was just thinking that's probably not very many compared to how many Brother Paul drives. But you know, this is how it compares to life. I can go to the gas station on Monday morning and fill up. The needle is over on the full mark. But you know what? I start living life and I'm driving to work every day. That needle's moving down to where I'm going to need to do something. I don't know if you've ever traveled cross country. You fill up and you feel like, you know what? Life is good. Everything is good. I can go many miles. And I have been in the middle of the night and I look down at my gauge and it's on empty. And I think, why wasn't I watching this? And I don't see any stations out there. You know, sometimes we get this desperate feel in ourselves about life itself. I can feel so good when life is going well. And then things can change for us. Thinking about the fuel that we need to be able to have for life, for our spiritual health, is grace. And you know, the scripture gives us so many places where it says it's readily available to us. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. We sing a song that says all of his grace, it's just as free as the air we breathe. We can each have a full supply. But you know, sometimes life can hit us kind of like my driving does. I look down and I've been told in the past anyhow, it doesn't cost any more to keep your tank full than it is to let it go empty as if it's going to run on fumes and save you mileage. If you would just put $10 in it often, you would go from three-quarter to full. But somehow I just let it go down, and even when the light comes on, I know I still have 50 miles and keep on driving, hoping to be able to make it. A few weeks ago, I mentioned about a message. It was three words for the topic. I waited patiently. And you know, that's kind of like I'm over on the full mark. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting patiently on the Lord. It kind of matches up with Job, the first and the second chapter. Even with difficulties coming in Job's life, he waited patiently on the Lord. When he lost all those things, the end of the first chapter ended so well. He didn't sin, nor did he charge God foolishly. He was doing very well. Second chapter, he loses his health. And he tells his wife, you know, we'll receive good things and we also ought to be willing to receive evil things, things that come into our life. But you know, in his life, we start seeing, if you would make it similar to a fuel gauge, you would start seeing he started running low on fuel. Maybe on over there a few chapters, he's still waiting, but you kind of lose the patiently part out of it. Then, you know, it even goes over there to a place where, and this is the topic that I want us to look at today. It can happen in my own life. I can have it to where I'm waiting patiently on the Lord for any kind of problem, whether it's health or whether it's my job, whether it's whatever it is, financial things. I'm waiting patiently on the Lord, but time passes. And something else can happen. I can drop the patiently part. And still I'm waiting. But what I want to talk to us today about is another message, and it's three words. Because unless I refuel with the grace that's available to me, I can do like Job. And the topic I would like to look at today is lost my peace. And we can see in the place where Job lost his peace. He came to a place where, I tell you what, I'd like to meet up with God and talk to him about what he's doing in my life. And you know, God did talk to him. He said, Job, back there about 40th chapter, he said, Job, gird up your loins. Where were you, Job, whenever I created the universe. And I don't want to come to the place where that's the visit that God has to have with me. I want to be able to see my need of grace in my life before the fuel gauge gets down to where I'm almost empty and don't know if I'm going to make it. Because grace is available to us. Peace is also available. If I'm not careful, I can move to a place where I lose my peace about the things that are coming into my life. And I was thinking of this, does the Word of God make peace available permanently? Is it available for us all the time? Or is it like the hummingbird feeder that I have outside my window? And I see a hummingbird come there to drink. He's there, but it's gone so quick. He's gone. Is that the way my peace does? I'd like to look at some scriptures today because peace is available for us. I've got to tap into the source for it. Over in the 9th chapter, we read this a lot of times at Christmas time. Isaiah 9 and 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And he's got one more title. He's the Prince of Peace. Got all that we would need. Then the next verse says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It'll be available to us all the time. It's available. But you know what? I've got to tap into it. There are gas stations all along the way, but you know what? I've got to stop and put the fuel in my tank. We have got to stop and get grace to help in our times of need. There's a Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I'm running low on peace, it's not because of him. It's possibly because of me. So there are some places. You remember even when the angels came down to pronounce Jesus' birth? It was glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. You know, for the whole world, there is enough peace for us all to be able to have if we'll tap into it. I'd like to look at another verse. This says what is available for us. Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, 32 and 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That's available for me. If I don't have it, I want to find out what can I do to be able to live there. Is there peace available for me to have it permanently? Or is it just like the hummingbird that's there for a little bit when times are going well for me? I've got peace, but it goes away so quick. Do you remember our song number 66? We sing that song, Everlasting Joy. And it is a very high testimony that that person wrote. Here's some of the verses. Can the spirit of the mortal live beyond the reach of trouble? Then it has another one. I know trouble and no sorrow. See today, nor will I borrow. Then verse number 4 says, to my soul all grace is given, and all gloom afar is driven. Walking in the light of heaven, all is everlasting peace. Now, when we sing that song, you know, if I'm not careful, I will kind of think, you know, maybe that person just didn't have any troubles in his life. I've got troubles that come in my life. And so do I kind of discount that song because it's not the testimony of my life sometimes? Or maybe do I say, you know what, I want that song to be my prayer. Because what I believe happened with this person was they had troubles just like all the rest of us. But what they saw was that there's grace available, that they didn't let any of those troubles get them down. To my soul all grace is given, and all gloom afar is driven. That's what's available for me. That was available for him. Psalms 37 and 37 says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. for the end of that man is peace. And probably each of you can think of in your life somebody that was an example to you of in trouble, with trouble in their life, they were able to tap into the source that gave them peace. In my life, it was Aunt Nelda. I think about her, and all the time that I knew her, she was crippled. And yet somehow she had peace. There would be, you know, and so could we say, well, yeah, she never had hardly any difficulties. Yeah, she had a lot of difficulties come into her life. I remember when Uncle Ed died, I thought, you know what, she's probably going to have to go into a nursing home. And probably those thoughts came to her. But by the time I got to her to try to help her out, it was all settled. She was at peace with whatever happened in her life. Other things happened in her life, and by the time we would get there, she needs help from the Lord. I probably have told you, but there came a time where somebody started calling her at night, harassing her. And so when she would recognize that it's this person calling, she wouldn't answer the phone. Well, then he would say, when he left a message with her, he would say, Nelda, you might as well open, you might as well pick up the phone because I know you're inside. Well, what does that tell you? Because he's outside. And that, you know, that would bring fear to me and my peace would be gone. But you know what? When she told me that, I can imagine she had some fears about it. But when she told me that, I said, okay, Aunt Nelda, I'll tell you what, from here on, while we were living in Guthrie, going to Guthrie, I said, I'll come by and get you and take you to meeting. And when I come back home again, I'll walk through the house, make sure it's all okay before I leave. She said, no, I've already decided I can't do that. I am going to come to the house, go into my garage, shut the garage door. I'm going through my house in the dark to my bedroom, and I'm going to bed, and I'm going to leave it with the Lord. And you know what? Somehow she was able to be at peace with that. And shortly after that time is when God sent that dog to help her in the problems that she faced out ahead. But she had so many things that could have robbed her peace. And all the time, Jesus is telling every one of us, with whatever trouble is going on in our life today, what is it in John 14 and 27? My peace I want to give you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because that peace is available. And with the peace that she was able to get from the Lord, she had a song that was her testimony. And it also is a real high testimony. It's song number 55. She would say, this is her song, this is her desire. It says, O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. What does that mean? Lord, I'm allowing you to do in my life whatever you want to do. And Lord, I'm acknowledging that everything that happens to my life is part of your will for me. And it brought her peace. Another part of that song said, and now I have flung myself recklessly out. Not knowing what the future holds, I put it all in God's hands. Then another part was, forever I choose. If I had a choice, here's what I would choose. I choose the goodwill of my God. I want him to be able to take control of my life. And then it ends with, and I just let my God, his dear purpose, fulfill. You want to have peace? And I watched her have it. With times when I knew her peace should be gone. And it probably was gone for a little bit. That's why, to me, I look at this subject, and all of us are going to have times where if we could look at the needle, we're no longer on the full mark. It's fast going down. Life itself is consuming the grace that we had. But if I could realize all I've got to do, and it's not to discourage me that it's going down fast, all I've got to do is realize the station is available for me to be able to tap into. It was available for Aunt Nelda to be able to tap back into. But there was a time where Aunt Nelda told me, she lost her peace. And that was when there was ministers at a time said, if you are afflicted, and you're a Christian, you should not be. You should not have to carry an affliction. You can get rid of it if you believe. And she got a hold of that and said, you know what? I'm going to believe because I don't want this affliction. And so, you know, when you want to have something happen, you focus all of your mental power on making it happen. And she did. And she said something did happen. She lost her peace. Said it was gone. And said she came to the place that she said, Lord, I tell you what, I'm not going this way anymore. I'll leave it in your hands. I just need your peace back. And she said his peace came back to her. And I think it's that way for us. Whenever we don't know what the future holds. We know things can happen in our life. And our needle can be going down fast. That's not a chastisement from the Lord. It's just a reminder from him. I've got peace for you to be able to keep you in peace. Jesus went by and he looked at Jerusalem and he started weeping. And he said, how often, it's in Luke 19 and 42. He said, if you had known the things that belong to your peace. Now, you know what they were looking for in peace was, we don't want the Romans to be in rule anymore. We're looking for someone to come that can get rid of the Roman rule over us. But you know what Jesus' peace was? That you could still be a slave to Rome and have peace that he is willing to give. Or today, whatever your problem is or my problem is that seems to not be wanting to go away, I can have peace in the middle of it because Jesus said, my peace I give. It's not as the world gives. So Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he realized, you know what, if they would have just received the peace that I would give them, they could, at the time when they're having to bear the Roman rule, they could still have victory in their heart. And we can too. Here's the peace that he wants to give us. We have this song, there's no one like Jesus to calm life's sea and bring an unspeakable peace. It's a peace not depending on my troubles relenting, but all on his sweet love to me. This peace can come to me even when I still have the problems going on. And we have a picture of that when we look at Daniel. And when we look at Joseph, their troubles did not decrease for a long time. For Joseph, it didn't decrease for 13 years. For Daniel, my understanding was he was a slave till he died. You know what? They had a peace that they carried with them because it was not depending on their troubles relenting. A lot of times I can say, I tell you what, if this problem goes away, I'll have peace in my heart. Jesus has peace for me even when the trouble continues, and I want that. There is another song. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging in the shelter of his arms. I'd like to look over in Philippians, the fourth chapter and the seventh verse. The peace of God which passes all understanding. How does it do that? Because the trouble hasn't gone away yet. I've still got my trouble, and he's got peace for me. It passes all understanding, and it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then it also tells me that there's some things that I can do that helps to be able to have that peace that passes understanding. Finally, brethren, that what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's going to be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. You know, the things that we think on is going to affect our peace also, where we allow ourselves to go. I'd like to go to a verse in Isaiah 48 and 18. It says, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Now, a lot of times we'll think about the Ten Commandments and have I done them. Remember the young man that said, I've done all of those. If you had hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been as a river and your righteousness as the waves of a sea. You know, peace like a river, that's a pretty abundant amount coming to me. If you had hearkened to my commandments, what are some of the commandments in the Bible that will give us peace? What's some of the instruction there that I can have this peace even when trouble is coming in my way. Isaiah 26 and 3. I want to always use this as a gauge in my life. When my peace is gone, I need to go back to this scripture. 26 and the third verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You'd like to have that? Even when trouble is coming our way, like to have perfect peace? It says we can have it. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Here's something that we have to do to be able to have this peace that's available for us. We're going to have to keep our minds stayed upon him. We're living in a time where there are so many things that want to come into my mind, and a lot of them are negative things that's happening all around me. And then my peace goes away and I wonder why I can't have it. This verse may be an answer to it. And I tell you, for myself, and I've told you this over the last few weeks, I have found that when I stop listening to the news, and if you do listen to it and you start hearing positive things, give me a call and I might go back to listening again. But there is so much negative. If you just follow, and over in Philippians 4 and 8, it said, whatsoever things are true. There may be a thing, may be possible that a lot of the negative things that's on the news is true. But you know what it causes whenever I listen to it and I start thinking about it? Somehow my peace is gone. So it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who keeps up with the news? No. Whose mind is stayed on thee. And I desire to be able to have that more in my life. So I find that peace is attached to something I can do. There's another verse over in Psalms. Psalms in the 55th chapter. Because so many of these verses give me something to do. 55 and 22. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So we think of the topic for today, lost my peace. Here's a solution for me. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So there's a place for me to be able to do something. You remember last week we were talking about having a controlled environment in my mind. Those things that come to me and I send out the ones that will be hurtful to me. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those thoughts that are presented to me, what I do with them. And those thoughts may be true thoughts. I've got a lot of cares, a lot of troubles that can come in my life quickly. But there's some verses that I'd like to look at. 1 Peter, because the devil would like to get involved really quick right here. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that sounds like a good recipe for peace. But the next verse is telling me why it's going to be so important for me to work at that. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that devouring is not just for the sinner that's gone to the drinking and drugs and all those things. You know what? He's out to devour us with negative thinking ourselves. Whom he may devour, and here's our part, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be sober, be vigilant. We got an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And then also in James 4 and 7, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have the ability to have peace in 2022. And how it's going to have to be done is I've got to resist the devil and thoughts that he would like to present. Because you know what? I've never had physical hand-to-hand combat with Satan. But I have had times where I had to resist thoughts that he sends to us. Where does unforgiveness come from? Maybe somebody really did us wrong, and we feel the hurt of it. And it comes, it's a thought presented to us, and what am I going to do with it? You know what, there are people that allow that thought to fester and grow. When we hear about workplace shootings, and we find out that it was an employee that got fired 2 years ago, and now he comes back in and he shoots the one that fired him 2 years later. What was he doing with his mind in that time? You know what? That thought just processes and it builds in his mind. Well, that's pretty far out for us, except, you know, the same thing can happen to me when a wrong has been done to me. I can allow that thing to build until it about consumes me and my peace is gone. Or I can go back to these verses that says, cast your care on him because he cares for you. Ephesians 4 and 27 is just a short little piece of a verse. Neither give place to the devil. What I need to do is be able to recognize the thoughts that are coming into my mind, which ones are a benefit to me and which ones are a detriment. Those that are detriment will almost for sure be coming from Satan. I was looking at it this way. Don't give the devil free airtime to advertise in my mind. You know, you can hardly, if I even wanted to listen to a song on YouTube, it may be a religious song, but you almost have to hear an advertisement first before you can hear what you wanted to hear. You know, the devil is busy trying to do the same thing. He would like to plant advertisements, and they will be those of discouragement or trouble that is in our life. But I would like for us, as we go from here today, that we think about this. You know, a lot of people have to pay to be able to put advertisements on. The devil is wanting to do it for free in our mind by presenting thoughts to us. And the Lord would like to help us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord would like to help us to be able to recognize this negative thought is not going to be a help to you out in the future. It's going to cost you your peace and be able to do something about it. There's a song number 261. It says, press on mid strong temptation. That's not just to sin, a temptation for negative thinking. Tell Satan he must flee. In Jesus' name, resist him and victory thine shall be. That's a promise there. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's realize the value of those verses when negative thinking comes to our mind. And then sometime maybe we have had some failure on that line to where my thoughts have been negative. You know what? There's still another verse in that 261 that says, press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. So what it's telling me is if I've had trouble in my thoughts to where I have allowed negative thinking to come in and head me in the wrong direction, and I lost my peace from it, it don't mean I have to give it up. It doesn't mean you will never be able to have your peace back. No, let your failings, let the times where I let Satan come to me, trouble that really happened to me, I've got a name for it. You remember Job had a name for the people that stole his camels? The servant came to him and told him, the Chaldeans did this, the Sabaeans did this. You know how Job was able to have victory in the first chapter? Was when he finished hearing all those things, he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe you'll have a person's name in your mind that has done something to you. Take it from that person, put away the name, and say, you know what, the Lord has allowed something to come into my life today. And I believe our peace will be able to stay. There's another song, number 86. It said, the title is Songs of Victory. It says, sing of defeat, no, never. So we don't say, okay, I'm just going to be a failure in this area. Sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory with all of our might. That's what we want to be able. Now, here's a place that the devil would like to work in our lives is, does Jesus really care when my trouble continues to go on for a while? And I found this song. It says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? When the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? And as the daylight fades into deep dark shades, does he care enough to be near? Then another verse, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? You know, for today it could be a temptation for discouragement. When for my deep grief there is no relief, though the tears flow all the day long. You know what, there's a guarantee right here at that time when those questions come to my mind. The devil is real close to air some advertisements of discouragement. But that song's not over. It said, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights are dreary, I know my Savior cares. In Psalms 61 and 1 through 2, he recognizes I need some help. And he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When we have troubles come into our life, let's realize, you know what I want to do to be able to have peace? I want to get up real close to the one that is able to give it. I want to get up real close. Remember the song that says, when I get weary with toils of the day, oft in the secret I kneel and pray. Then I can hear the Lord sweetly say, negative thinking, come closer, my child, to me. There's a verse in Proverbs 24 and 16. It says, a just man falls seven times and he rises again. Now, that's not talking about he falls into sin and he just keeps on sinning. But this man happens to be like Job, and he has one adversity after another come to him. But when they do, he gets right back up and goes again. At the time that those adversities are coming, he's got a battle in his mind to deal with. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we can lose our peace. But we can also rise above it and walk with the Prince of Peace, because he's got the power. I have a song that I'd like for us to close with. It's song number 80, and that song says, victory. You know, we can have the peace that he wants to give us. And victory, a lot of times we think of victory as being, okay, I have no more troubles anymore. They're all gone. But this doesn't have to be. Remember when Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he said, if you just knew what your peace was available to you. His peace was not that if you would have followed me closer, I would have delivered you from Rome. No, what he would have done was help them to be able to have peace in the middle of it. This song says, hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus' full salvation brought victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail, but heaven's grace will never fail. We can have victory. I want it in my life. I want to please the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. We're going to have some battles come to us, but we can have that peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to live with the topic of this message, I lost my peace. Should we find that we lost our peace, let's find that we can go back to the Prince of Peace, and he can help us out. That's our prayers.